Continuing on. Sorry about that. All right, so here's the idea. So let's say that I'm a computer chip designer, and I've discovered that I can make a kind of gate that can compare k-bit patterns to each other and tell you whether or not they're equal, which is a useful thing to be able to do. These gates have, and my gate can work for any value of k. So it works for 10. You need a different setup for 20, but it's the same basic form. So any value of k should work. And the way that it works is it takes two k inputs, so two groups of k bits. It's going to produce one output. It's going to be true if they're equal, false if they're not equal. The equal k gate consists of the following. There's one and k gate that takes k bits of input and says it returns true if they're all on and otherwise they're all off, which I can build out of k minus 1. Whatever the value of k is, I can build it out of k minus 1 AND gates. Just low-level, simple AND gates like we talked about. To make my equal k gate, I also need k equal gates. So if k is 20, I need 20 copies of an equal gate. And an equal gate has two ANDs, two NOTs, and one OR. And now the question is, how many AND gates? If we actually go and build an equal k gate, maybe I should stick in an actual concrete number. Let's say we want an equal 10 gate. Some people call that the spinning beach ball of death. It's sort of like the hourglass, but worse. All right, so an equal 10 gate. So does that how many AND gates does it take to build such a thing? Do we need 20 of them? Do we need 29 of them? Do we need 10 of them? Do we need 30 of them? Or do we need 9 of them? All right, so if I'm asking this right. So ultimately, you know, we have kind of a plan. It's almost like a recipe. And we can make, it works for any value of k, but we're going to look at particularly 10. So there's a 10-bit pattern compared to another 10-bit pattern. And so to do that, we're going to have to wire up a bunch of ANDs, a bunch of NOTs, and a bunch of ORs, but in a particular pattern that I described on the right. And the question is, how many AND gates does there ultimately end up being in the whole big gate that I'm talking about? All right, why don't you click in, and I'll step through this. There'll be other questions like this coming up. So let me see what my answer is first. All right, 5 more seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, I'm gonna stop. All right, so reading the description again, this is how I picture what's going on. So it says, we're trying to build an equal 10 gate. And how do you make an equal 10 gate? Well, to build an equal k gate, we need 1 AND k gate and k equal gates. But k is 10 here. So that means we need 1 AND 10 gate, whatever that turns out to be, and 10 equal gates. Okay? So that's just what it says. So 10 equal gates and 1 AND 10 gate.
But equal gates and AND10 gates aren't the low-level gates that you can build computers out of. You need ANDs and ORs and NOTs. So how many AND gates is in each of these boxes? Well, an equal gate, it says, has two ANDs, two NOTs, and an OR. So each of these equal gates has two ANDs in it, two AND gates. Okay, they're wired up in a particular pattern, but you don't have to care about the pattern. What matters is there's each of these boxes has two AND gates in them. And how many boxes are there like that? There's 10 of them. So the total number of AND gates just in this part of the circuit is going to be 20 AND gates. Plus, there might be some AND gates in the AND10. Well, how do you make an AND10 gate? It says you need, well, to make an AND-K gate, you need K minus 1 AND gates. So to make an AND10 gate, you need 10 minus 1 AND gates, or 9. So there are 9 AND gates inside this box. Okay, so there's 9 in here, there's 2 in each of these for a total of 20 over here, so the total is 29. 29 AND gates. Alright? So maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. Let's see. 29 was choice B. So a little bit above chance, above the rest of the answers, but a substantial amount of confusion. So let's just, on the spot, let's just do, how many OR gates are in this thing? So same setup, but slightly different question. How many OR gates are in this altogether? So let me think about that. All right, so does anybody want to give an answer? Yeah? 10. Why is there 10? Well, there's OR gates in each of these boxes. How many are in this box?
I can't read it.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. This is an AND10 box. And how many OR gates would be in an AND10 box? None, right? Zero. And then we've got 10 of these equal boxes, not to be confused with sweet and low or something like that. And each of these has one OR gate in it, right? So for a total of 10 over here, 0 over here, or 10 total. How about NOT gates? Anybody else want to say how many NOT gates are in this whole setup?
20.
There's 20, because there's 2 in each of the equal boxes, because I told you that, and none in the AND10 box. So 2 times 10 plus 0 is 20. Alright? How about the total number of total gates? Well, that would be there's 29 ANDs plus 20 ORs, plus 10 ORs, it's 39, plus another 20 NOTs, it's 59? Does that sound right? So I can ask you any of those questions, but it's all in, all the information that you need is in there. I think the thing that people, if you have a question, ask me a question, but I think the thing that some people find a little tricky is the weird stuff like the K minus 1 AND gates. What does that mean? But when I ask you for an equal 10 gate, I'm basically telling you what K is. I'm telling you that since this is instructions for making an equal K gate, and you want to know about equal 10, the only way you can answer that question is this, is it if K is equal to 10. So once you know that, oh, we're talking about K is 10, you can go through all these instructions and just think of 10 wherever you see K, and the rest of it should just fall out. It's just multiplication and adding after you've done that math. Okay? So anything I can clarify with this? We'll keep bonking on this until it gets clear. Yeah?
Well, how are you able to know how many NOT gates there are or AND gates without being told explicitly?
You don't. I'm always going to tell you explicitly.
Okay.
Yeah. So the way that I figured this out is I actually had to sit and stare for a long time like, well, how would I build a gate like this? And so because I've practiced this kind of thing, I was able to. There's probably other ways of doing the same thing with different combinations of gates. But I've just told you one specific one. Yeah, otherwise you'd actually have to go and do some design and figure out how to make it work. Yeah?
So you actually do the K equal gates first before you can get the AND 10?
No, well, there's sort of parallel bullets. So you can do them in, no, the order between those two shouldn't matter at all. Because all I'm saying is that an equal K gate, an equal 10 gate, has a whole bunch of different boxes in it. So you can work out how many ANDs are in this one and how many ANDs are in that one, and they don't really interfere with each other. Right, so another way to think about this kind of problem is imagine you're like scheduling the Olympics or something like that, and the Olympics are made up of, let's say, to a first approximation, swimming and track, right? And swimming has some number of events, and track has some number of events, and you can add them up independently any way you want, but ultimately, if you're trying to pull them together and see how many medals you need, that's you'd have to get both answers both sides and combine. So it's like that. Like there's some number of, instead of AND, NOT, and OR, there's like gold, silver, and bronze. I don't know if that's any easier. All right. The Olympics of Geeks. All right, so one more. We'll do a binary conversion question. The binary number 1100 is what number in decimal? Is it 400, 200, 180, 19, or 11,001,000? Another 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're getting clicks from some other class. So just let me know if you're not done yet. Can we stop? All right, I'm stopping now. Oh, I hate when that happens. Now our display is going to be all screwy. So 39 people click B, which is more than half. A lot more people click C, but I wonder if that's the other class. There ought to be a way to change the way it's collecting these clicks so that
you can change the frequency.
Yeah, we could do that, but there would be downsides to that as well. We'd have to make sure that everybody did it, and that if they have the clicker for other classes, they'd have to switch the frequency for each class that they're in. So it's easy in the grading. We will not give grades to anybody in the other class who clicked, so that's not a problem. But it's just on the fly, it's a little bit hard to tell what's going on. All right, so let's look at this number. How do we go about converting this from binary to decimal? Well, all we have to do is remember the place values. This is the 1's place, the 2's place, the 4's place, the 8's place. So there's a 1 in the 8's place. We add 8 to, let's see, 16, 32, to 64 plus 128. Okay, each place value is double the previous one. Just like in decimal, except that multiplies by 10. In binary, it's multiplying by 2. So when you add up these three numbers, 128 plus 64 plus 8, I think, you get 200. Okay, any questions about that? I think one common error that people make is the order of the bits matters, right? So if you said this was the 1's place, this was the 2's place, this was the 3's place, sorry, 4's place, 8th place, you'd get some other answer in this list, I think. Maybe 19. Yeah, 19. So did anybody get 19? Well, no, you don't have to raise your hand. Sorry. But that means that you did the bits in the reverse order. Just like decimal, the low order, the least significant digits are always on the right. Right? So like 2001, the 2 is in the thousands place, the 1 is in the units place. The units place in binary is in the same place as it is in decimal. The 1's place is the far right, and they double as you go to the left. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Any other, and this is just the binary number with commas in it. Let's see if I could trick anybody out. Alrighty. Alright, so that was it for that. Then my plan now is to get back into doing some arithmetic with binary numbers. All right, so we all understand binary now, at least being able to go from decimal to binary and binary to decimal. Is that okay? So then we can now appreciate the following joke. So you have to laugh to let me know that you actually get it. Otherwise, it's like, oh no, I have to teach binary again. Okay, what does it say? There are two kinds of people in the world, right? Because that's two in binary. One in the 2's place and a 0 in the 1's place. So it just looks like 10. And you don't realize that it's not a 10 until you realize there's only two choices. So there must have only been two people in the world. Those who understand binary. Okay. How awesome is that? All right. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do addition. So it turns out that we can more or less do grade school addition. And it works out. And it's a lot simpler, but you have to kind of go back to basics and remember how to do addition. So why don't we do one, so you couldn't see when I was all the way over here. Is this board better? All right, so I'll do one on this board. All right. 962. We're just going to practice regular addition ones, but I'm going to say out loud what the steps are, because you can already do this so fast and so easily that you may forget to think about it. Plus, 517. All right, so what do? Where do we start? We start at the far right, and we add in this column. 2 plus 7 is 9, so we just write the 9 there. Actually, this is not the most interesting thing. Let me try. Let me put put an 8 there. All right. But that wouldn't change anything. We still would start at the right, add the unit digit. Now we're in the tens place. 6 plus 8 is 14, but you don't just write the 14 underneath, right? That wouldn't be okay. You write the 4, and you carry the 1. That's a 1 in the tens place and a 4 in the ones place. Now, we have to add these. 9 plus 5 is 14, but we also have to add in the carry. So that's 15 altogether. That's 5, carry the 1. So we get 1,549. We're good, right? All right, now we're going to do the same thing with binary numbers, except that you have to remember that 1 plus 1 is like 10. It's 2 in binary. You write it as 1, 0. There is no digit that looks like this in binary, right? So, nor is there one that looks like this. So 1 plus 1 plus 1, you have to write like that. 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1, 1, right? That's 3 in binary. 1 in the 1's place, 1 in the 2's place. 2 is 1 in the 2's place, 0 in the 1's place. So as long as you keep that in mind, everything turns out okay. So let's start. I'll do it. I'll actually animate it up on the slide, but I could do it on the chalkboard as well. Let's just do it on the slide for now. So what do we do first? We start at the far right, and what's the question that we have to answer first? What is 1 plus 0? So what is 1 plus 0? That would be 1, so we just write it in. All right, next one. Now we go to the next column over. What is 1 plus 1? It's 2, which we write as 1, 0. In other words, 0 carry the 1. Right? That's 0 plus 1 in the 2's place. 0 carry the 1. All right, now we've got 0 plus 0 with the 1 carry. So 0 plus 0 plus 1, which is 1. Just carry that down. 0 plus 0 is 0. 1 plus 1 is 0 carry the 1. Now we've got 1 plus 1 plus 1, which is 3. Right, so it's 1, carry the 1. So we put the 1 underneath, and we carry the 1 over. Now we've got 1 plus 1 plus 0, which is 2. 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 0 plus 1 is again 0, carry the 1. And now we're done. So we don't have to remember crazy things like 6 plus 8 equals 14. What a pain in the butt that is. All you have to remember are these simple facts. 0 plus 0 is 0. 0 plus 1 is 1. 1 plus 0 is also 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0, 2. And 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1, 1. It's so exciting that the people outside can't even keep themselves calm. All right, so we're done. We actually got the right answer, but let's just to really settle our minds and make sure that this is okay, let's convert these numbers back to decimal, or let's convert them to decimal. They may never have been decimal before. So we want to convert the first number of the summation to decimal. We see that there's a 1 in the 1's place, a 1 in the 2's place,
one in the 16's place, one in the 32's place, and one in the 64's place. Add them all together, and you should get 115. The other number has a 1 in the 2's place, 16, 32, and 128. You add all those up, and you should get 178. And now let's do that addition. So 5 plus 8, that's like 3, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 plus 7 is 9. 1 plus 1 is 2, so it should be 2, 9, 3. Okay, 293. And now, if we go and look at the sum that we got in binary, there's a 1 in the 1's place, the 4's place, 64, 128, oh wait, did I count wrong? 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 256, went all the way out to there. You add those up, you should get 293. I don't know if any... Feel free to check that, but it works. Okay. So binary addition, that should be somewhat clear. Should I practice another one on the board to go through the process again? You can kind of solidify your understanding.
I'll try to write darker. All right, so, I don't know, do you want to give me some bits? 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1. Sure, why not? What would be a good way to make random bits using things, something you probably have with you? Not your brain, something else.
Barcodes.
What's that?
Barcodes.
Carpage?
Barcodes.
Well, barcodes give you digits. You can turn them into bits. Yeah, but it's not clear how random they are. There's usually more zeros than you'd want.
Flip a coin.
You flip a coin. Like, heads is 1 and tails is 0. Right? It's harder to make a random decimal digit. Like, a random number in decimal. You have to flip a 10-sided something. I don't know what that would be. But with a coin, you know, for bits, it's easy. Just a coin. All right. So, all right, we'll add that to, I don't know, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. All right. Does anybody want to walk me through it, or would you be happier with me just blathering on? Maybe help me save my voice. Someone would volunteer to step through? I won't let you go off track. Don't worry. All right. Just because you've gotten a lot of chances to speak. All right. Good. So what are the steps? So we start off. Right. So we add the 1 and 1.
0. 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1,
So this is, so does anybody have a calculator out or a computer out or something? Can you type in numbers real fast? Any? You ready? All right, 157. All right, and another one like that.
1 + 2 + 8 + 16 + 64 + 128
219 All right, and so if you could do this guy while I do this guy. If you want to add 8 plus 16 plus 32 plus 64 plus 256.
I might have added the wrong numbers, I don't want to say it yet.
Okay, 1, 2, 4. So 8 plus 16 plus 32 plus 64 plus 256. We skip 128 because it was a zero there.
That's 376.
All right. All right, so that, you it's easy to generate practice problems on your own if you want to try it out. You just write, you know, random zeros and ones and go through and see it, you know, check it by converting to decimal. But
the process is, yeah, it's really just like in decimal. You proceed right to left, you keep track of your carries, and everything works out for the best. All right? So this one's not so bad. Subtraction is a little bit hairier, and it turns out that the reason for that is because subtraction is just harder, like in decimal too. So what I was thinking is we could do a little demo. So do I understand how this demo would go? It's really replacing higher denomination coins with lower ones. So let's do the same subtraction problem except in the other direction.
So we know from basic, you know, arithmetic that if 157 plus 219 is 376, then it ought to be the case that 376 take away 219 gives us 157, right? So we can make a little subtraction problem that we already know the answer to. So let's do that.
Aren't you glad we're not doing trig?
All right. So, 376, which we said was 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0. And we're subtracting from that 219, which was 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. All right, so first question is, why? So I wrote these two different numbers. They have different lengths. This one is 8 bits, and this one is 9 bits. Why didn't I write them so that they were lined up on the left? Just for, you know, attractiveness, right? Aesthetics. Just look more balanced that way. I mean, think about it in decimal. What would happen if we had, like, a number like, you know, 1072, and we're going to subtract from that, you know, 85. That would be bad, right? It's not even clear what you would do. You'd be like 2 minus empty space. I believe that's, you know, Batman's symbol. You know, you can't do that. It doesn't mean anything. So you have to align it out to the right because that's where the unit digits come together. The unit digit is the one on the far right. So binary is the same way. We had to line up the unit's position, and we can't squeeze other numbers in between. They really need to line up nice and even. All right. So right off the bat, we're screwed, right? Because we have to start borrowing, and we have no idea what that means. In fact, we have to borrow from quite a ways away. So let's remind ourselves how this works in decimal briefly, why don't we? Which I think we can do with the same example. Oh, nice clean board. All right, so if we have 300, this is really 376 minus 219. All right, and we're borrowing right off the bat. But we're not scared when it's decimal, right? This shouldn't be a big deal. You can't take 9 away from 6. So you can't think of that as being a 6. You have to think of it as being 16. But you can't just arbitrarily make it 16. You have to find 10 from somewhere else and take out a loan, essentially. So we're going to take 10 away from this guy, because it's in the tens place, making it down to 6, and then we move the 10 over to this units place just so we have a little slack. So it's really just like accounting. It's just moving numbers around. We haven't changed the value. We just said that this was 76, and now it's 6016. But that's the same number. It's just a weird way of counting. All right. But now that we've done that, now we can take 9 away from 16. We can get 7. We can take 1 away from 6 and get 5, and we can take 2 away from 3 and get 1. Oh, all right, that's good. So it matched. So we have to do that same thing. But let me do one more practice one like that. We'll do it over here. Because that's borrowing just from one position. What happens when you have to borrow farther away? So what year is it? It's like 2008, right? 2000. It won't be so funny when you're 42. All right, so let's take 1966. And for doing the subtraction, what happens? Well, we take 8 minus 6 is 2,
Oh, crap. All right, so we can't take 6 away from 0. So we have to borrow, but there's another flipping 0 there. So what do we have to do? We actually have to borrow out from this guy first. So take this down to 1. There's a bunch of ways to do this, and you may have a favorite way, and that's fine. We can do it your way, too. But the way I do it is I borrow into this position. Now that's a 10. I can borrow from that for this guy. So I can take this 10 down to a 9 and bump that up to a 10. The other way of doing it, as far as I know, is you can actually think about borrowing from this 20. So 0, you can't borrow from a 0, but you can borrow from a 20 by taking it down to 19. And then you've got something that, you know, then you've got the extra 10 that you need. How do you guys do it? The first way, where you just kind of chain together the borrowing. Okay, we're going to do the same thing with the bits in a second, so just hold on to that idea. But let's finish this problem now. So 10 minus 6 is 4, and then we've got 9 minus 9 is 0, 1 minus 1 is 1. All right. So I have, in fact, 42. All right, so now we'll do the same thing over here with the bits. Okay? So we need more here. We need this to be a 2 instead of a 0. We need a little 1 in front of it. So what we have to do is first... Well, we want to borrow from here, but that's got nothing. This one needs to borrow from here, but that's got nothing. So we can borrow from here. Take this 1 down to a 0 and bump that up to a 2. We can borrow from a 2. What's 2 minus 1? 1, right. So we borrow this down, move it over there. We'll borrow this down, move it over to here. Okay? Now we can start a subtraction proper. So this is, what is 10 minus 1? Really, 2 minus 1. This is a 1. All right? Now, this is 1 minus 1, 0. This is 1 minus 0, 1. This is 0 minus 1. Got to borrow again. All right, we'll borrow from this guy. What's 2 minus 1? What's 0 minus 1? Who made up this problem anyway? All right, so we got to borrow from this guy. So now we've got 2 minus 1, 1. 0 minus 0, 0. 1 minus 1, also 0. 0 minus 1, again, borrow from this guy. So 2 minus 1 is 1. All right, so 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1. 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1. The crowd goes absolutely insane with their binary joy. All right, so procedurally, everything that you might have to do in a weird subtraction, binary subtraction problem just came up there. So if you got all the steps, you should be able to do this now. But it might help. Yeah, so the slide says that I should do some example where we're borrowing with coins. Does that really make sense?
No.
No. We have all these lovely plates, but we're just going to leave them for now. And... yeah, I said easy example. We didn't do that. All right, so I'm going to do another one animated on the slide so you can have it again in your notes. But we should be able to go through this and get all the steps together. So the very first thing that we have to do is what piece of the subtraction? We line them up nice and even on the units digit. And the units digit is, in this case, what subtraction problem? What, which is? 1. All right. Now we have our first borrowing accident or incident. We have to borrow from that position, taking it down to 0 and giving us a 1 in the place next door. Now it's 2 minus 1. That we can do, we get 1. Next position, now that we've done the borrowing, it's down to 0, so it's 0 minus 0, so that's 0. We have a just straight up 0 minus 0, that's 0. And now we have another borrowing incident. So we have to go over to the bit next to it, take it down to 0, move the 2 over, so now we've got 2 minus 1, or 1. Another borrowing situation. So what we're going to do is actually, ultimately, take that 1, 0, 0 down to 0, 1, 1. That's the chain of borrowings, that's what it's going to leave behind, giving us a 1 there. So now in the place that we're subtracting from, it's again 2 minus 1, which is 1. Since we've already borrowed, that's 1 minus 0, which is 1. The next one is 1 minus 1, which is 0. Oops. Sorry, I went too far. Because we already done at that point. Everything else was just zeros. Just like in decimal, you don't have to write leading zeros in binary. The leading zeros can be ignored and you get the same number. Duh! All right, anyway. That was the, do you need to see it one more time?
Yeah.
Tell me to stop before I go on this time. Because I will make the same mistake over and over again. All right. Okay. So that is the final answer. So 1001001001 minus 1011010 is 1110011. It just is. All right. Does anyone have any questions about that? Do you feel like you could go off and do these on your own now, or do you feel like you need a little bit more practice? Or
so you don't have to put that zero.
Yeah, just like in decimal, that is 42, but so is that, right? I mean, because there's a zero in the hundreds place, you don't have to write it. There's also a zero in the 100 billions place, but you don't write that one either. So those are equivalent. The binary is the same way. It's the higher order bits, you can, if they're zeros, you can just leave them out. Right? All right, so we're going to do a little bit more with subtraction and addition, and 2's complement. So here's the next thing to point out. So in most, well, is this true these days? Or does anyone use 8-bit computers anymore? Not really. So computers, I don't know if you've heard, sometimes people will say, oh, this is a 64-bit processor, or a 16-bit processor, or a 128-bit processor. Back in the day, they were 8-bit processors. But what that means is when they hold on to numbers, in the central processing unit that's doing all the low-level math, they only work with some fixed number of bits at a time. You could make as many bits as you have width on your paper, right? You could just keep adding the next place, 128, 256, 512, 1024, 2048, as long as you want to do it. But computers are built out of actual physical circuitry, and the designer of the chip allocates a certain number of bit positions for numbers. And so often you'll get these situations where you're adding an 8-bit number to another 8-bit number, and that's all the processor can do. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if my little recording device is an 8-bit processor. It can only represent numbers that are up to 8 bits long. And it's so common, this 8-bit pattern is so common that it has a special name. The computer scientists call them bytes, B-Y-T-E. It's like a bunch of bits all together is a byte. And the reason that I used an octopus in that video is because it's got a byte. It's got 8 bits, 8 tentacles. Each one can be up or down. So here's a weird thing that happens when you add 2 8-bit numbers. So here's 2 8-bit numbers, and you can check that I've added them correctly here. The 1 plus 0 is 1. The 1 plus 1 is 0 carry the 1, and so forth until we get out. And there ends up being a 1 here in the 512th place, which is the 9th bit. So if inside the computer it's adding these 2 8-bit numbers together, it only has left 8 bits for the answer. So what it does is a little bit like what the odometer, well, at least in old cars, what the odometer does is it throws away the high-order digit. The most important digit of all, it just drops it. And so you get this 0, 1, 0, you know, get these 2 big numbers added together, which add up to what's, ignoring the leading bit, what's this number at the bottom here? You should be able to do that one in your head. It's 1 plus 4, which is 5, right. So you add 2 big numbers together, and then the answer is 5. And so you do get problems with badly written computer programs sometimes, where they're perfectly happy going along saying, oh, here's a big number, here's a big number, here's a big number. Okay, add them together, we got 5. And it just goes on, and all sorts of chaos comes out as a result of that. And this is because of what's called overflow. That we needed one more place to put a bit, but the people who designed the circuits didn't leave a place for that, so it just vanished. And so the number got 512 positions smaller than it should have. So this is a bad thing, by and large, but it's also been taken advantage of by computer designers in a way that I'll show you in a moment. But is it sort of clear what's going on with these overflow? So in general, if I ask you to add bits, you should put all the bits in, unless I say, you know, limit your answer to 8 bits, in which case you might have to throw away leading bits. Okay, so I'll tell you how many bits should be in the answer. Or if I don't, just use however many are necessary. So overflow actually gives us a really interesting way to do subtraction. And this is, as far as I know, this is actually how it's done on a lot of processors. So here's the thing to notice. So this is a regular fact from algebra. The additive inverse of x is the number y such that when you add x and y together, you get 0. In other words, y is negative x. That's what it means to be the opposite of something. So if you're doing a subtraction problem, you can just add the negation of something. So what's interesting here is you can actually come up with, let's see, where's the number that we're working with? One. I'm not quite sure what that means. All right, so here's the cute trick. So let's say we're trying to take I'm not sure how this is helping. Let me just do the example out on the board. So we're going to use 8 bits. So how many 128s are in that? 0. How many 64s? 0. How many, what comes in? 32s? There's 132. What's left after that? 50 minus 32, 18. All right, so how many 16s? Or we've got 18 left that we have to put in. So how many 16s? 1. 8s? No. 4s? No. 2s? Yes. 1s? No. All right, so 2, 6 plus 16 plus 32 should give us 50. That sounds right. All right, so this is the number 50. And we want to turn this into a number negative 50. In other words, we want a number such that if we add the result to 172, we get the result as a subtraction problem. What is that? 172 minus 50 is 122. So we want an 8-bit number that if you added it to the binary representation of 172, we get 122. It actually goes down. And the reason it's going to go down is because it's going to force an overflow. And then that high order bit is going to get dropped, and so the number will get smaller. So let me tell you the steps, and then I'll just show you that it works. I could do it like as a math proof, but I'm not sure that that would be the most useful way to tell you about it. So here's the steps. The first step is we flip all the bits. We turn all the zeros to ones and all the ones to zeros. So 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. This is called a complement. This is a bit pattern. This is the complement bit pattern. All the things that were off are on. All the things that were on are off. We sort of knotted each bit. Okay. Then we're going to add 1 to this answer. So what is this plus 1? Okay, so we took the number that we started with, which was 50. We did the complement of it, turning all the 1s to zeros and all the zeros to 1s, and we're just going to increment that. We're going to add 1 to it. 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 0 is 1. 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1. All right, so there's a bit pattern. Okay? And I claim that this bit pattern can be thought of as being negative 50. So here's what I'm going to do with it. Actually, we need to make it 8 bits. Is it 8 bits?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, all right. So we've got this number, which I claim is sort of like negative 50. And now we need to write down 172. How do we do that? It's 128 plus no 64s plus 132 plus no 16s plus 18 plus 14 plus no 2s plus no 1s. So 4 plus 8 is 12, plus 32 is 44, plus 128 is 172. All right, so this is 172 as an 8-bit number, and we're going to add negative 50 to it. So there's our negative 50. It's 1100110. So let's add these together and see what we get. 0 plus 0. 0. 0 plus 1. 1. 1 plus 1. 0. Carry the 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1. 1 carry the 1. 1 plus 0 plus 0 is 1. 1 plus 0 is 1. 0 plus 1 is 1. And 1 plus 1 is 0. Carry the 1, which is our ninth bit. And we're saying we're only allowed to work with 8 bits right now. So this bit goes away. All right? And what does that leave us with? We now have an 8-bit pattern, which is 2 plus 8, that's 10, plus 16 is 26, plus 32 is 58, plus 64 is 122, and what is... oh wait, there it is. 172 minus 50 is, in fact, 122. So this procedure that we did here, this is called 2's complement. I actually don't know why. Your science friends know this. But anyway, it's called 2's complement. Actually produces a number that acts like a negative. In other words, we can add it to a positive, and it ends up being subtraction. So this was 172, and this is like negative 50. We added these together, and we got 122. So the steps, yes, I hear you. All right, give me 3 more seconds just to review the steps. The way you can do subtraction when you have a fixed number of bits is take the number that you're subtracting and make it negative by complementing it and adding 1. The resulting bit pattern, when you add it to the thing that you want to subtract from, actually gives you the right answer.
You still make what you say, you use a certain amount of bits, right?
Yes, yes. All right, that was that. Right, so it's you can always do it either way, but it's just you want to use whichever way is easiest. In this case, they're both equally. Actually, slightly easier to go with the truth. No. We're trying to make an expression that will fill in the same way. A is true and B is false. And not B. Or A and B. That expression, A and B, or A and B, gives us the same for you. I'm going to be true for these two.
So
that would be the answer. It turned out there's actually a shorter way of saying it.
No problem.
So, what does it mean?
Online.
That's okay. Like I said, because this is the first time going through it, there's a little bit of slack. Sakai will frown at you, but it will have no impact on your score at all.
Okay, so I think as long as I get it by tonight,
yes. If you get it in tonight, absolutely. Okay. Sakai will frown at you, but you just have to say, it's okay, the professor said it was okay. You know what, it's going to say, oh, this is now after the deadline, but that's okay.
Okay.
Don't worry about
all
it,
right.
Because we'll accept them after at this point with no point deduction, just so that we all get used to this process.
And you're going to be able to copy and paste like the kind of thing?
Well, if you handwrite it, then it's harder to copy and paste, but if you... Yeah, presumably. But you want to type
it in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you can either do it as a Word file, or there's little boxes you can just type them in. Because a lot of it's just text.
Okay.
All right. So Bethany's going to read them, and so you just have to make sure she can read it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
I was just wondering if there's a time limit for how long we need, like if I miss a class, how much time do I have to put in?
For the clicker questions?
Yeah.
At the moment, we haven't said anything on that.
Okay, so, okay, because I'm going to then miss a couple classes next week for religious reasons.
Oh.
So,
For like Yom Kippur and stuff? But it's not.
It's a 2-day holiday. And
no, I know. I'm celebrating this. But you actually stay home for it. That's fine. No, I there's absolutely no issue. Don't worry about it. Yeah, so that should be fine. And
so you should get 3.18.
The sooner you do it, the fresher it'll be. So I would suggest not waiting 3 weeks because we're gonna have gone into other stuff by then. But no, I would not push. Just when you have the time to do it. And No. So 2's complement makes the number negative. Overflow just means you add numbers and you get too many bits and you throw the high bits away. Overflow just means dropping the high bits.
Oh, usually you got like just sort of
bits. Right, and it flowed that over.
Yeah,
and then went down the drain.
So it was like 8 bits one of the answer, but 9 bits just take one.
Dropping, particularly the high order bit, the most important one.
Drop it.
Yeah, and again, have you seen like odometers do this, where they'll count 9999, and then they'll go to zero from there. And that's because overflow. There's a 1 bit, a digit at the front, which is getting dropped.
Okay.
That's what all overflow means is you just drop higher the thing to keep it with things down.
All right. And
wait, hang on a second.
I don't have the rest yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Do I really need it? Or I come to class and just do it all online?
So I was noticing that it's, you do them online, you can't participate in the demos, like today, the magic thing. And I'm hoping we'll have some cooler demos. But yeah, it is looking kind of like you can survive without it. If it looks like there's going to be a fun demo, I do have a spare that I keep in my bag, so you could click in with that.
But, okay, because I have the book, and I really don't want to spend any more money than I have.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
What's the weight?
What's the weight of the clicker questions in the final grade?
Yeah, I'm not the estimator.
Oh, but as long as if you give no answer, it's zero. If you give an answer, it's like 7.
Yeah,
7. So like 70%. So if you answer every single clicker question wrong, that's like a C on the clicker questions. But if you answer half of them right,
B is?
I think full is 10, yeah. So half of them right is like a middle B.
Oh.
So you don't have to do that well on the clicker questions to have a reasonable score for that part of the class. Ultimately, that's 1/5. So it's 1/5 clickers, 1/5 midterm, 1/5 middle midterm, and 1/5 final, and 1/5 homeworks.
All right.
So it's worth, you know, do your best on it, but I wouldn't super duper panic. If you're there trying and you're keeping up with it, you'll have a chance to answer the same kind of questions on the homework and the test.
Yeah. All right, that's what I want to see.
No problem.
Cheers.
Yeah, all right, go. Sorry.
I essentially think the same question I have.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask if we could have a little more time in there. Good questions involving binary numbers and actually, because I would go.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, after you stopped it, is when I got the right answer.
I think
the right answer already
opened. Oh, I see. Yeah, understood.
So, I could see.
Again, to get an A on the bigger stuff, you don't have to get a tremendous number of them correct.
Yeah.
So then you'll be in the A zone for bigger questions anyway.
Oh, okay.
So
I just did.
Yeah. And mostly I'm using it to keep people listening to the
I was
participating.
Well, it's working.
All right.
All right.
Sweet.